The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. Today, answering a question about the Lord's Supper. What does it mean to eat the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? And what does it mean to examine yourself? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. Grace in Focus comes to you from the Grace Evangelical Society, and we'd love for you to know us better by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find hundreds of articles about our focused free grace position, and I want to let you know about our magazine called Grace in Focus. It is published every other month, six times per year, with full color and great articles, and put together with excellence. And it's free to you. That's right, a free subscription is yours. The only cost is if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States, you pay the postage. You can subscribe and find out more at our website, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
Val had a question about the Lord's Supper as Paul discusses it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give the listeners a warning. I take a different view.
You heretic.
I do. I take a different view, and you can decide whether I'm crazy and then write my boss here at GES and say, that guy's crazy. What is he doing on the radio? But anyway, I'm going to challenge some traditions based upon Val's question. So she asked a few questions about a couple verses there, so I'm going to have you read them. 1 Corinthians 11.
So we are in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 39, which reads, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body."
Okay, Val's question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to eat the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Related to that, as Paul is discussing it, what does it mean to examine yourself? Mm-hmm. So Paul is saying, examine yourself to make sure that you're not eating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now, my guess is that practically 100% of people who hear this have been told the same thing I was as a young person, or really not just as a young person, even as an old person, you hear that examining yourself means that you're to look at your life since the last time you took the Lord's Supper, and if there's any unconfessed sins,
that's right,
that you need to confess those sins before you
And feel partake. Bad for them.
Right. I mean, it's very common to hear preachers say, listen, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, don't take this.
Yeah. I was in a service one time. I was late teens, early 20s. And there was a young woman next to me and she didn't take communion. And I was like, why aren't you taking communion? And then later she just said, yeah, I'm just not in a good place right now to take it. I'm going through some stuff. And so very much had that posture of you need to be in a right place and examine yourself and make sure that if there is any sin that you root that out before you take a communion.
Yeah.
Very common.
Oh, I've seen that many, many times. Mm-hmm. I remember even in the military at a chapel service I did, a young soldier came up to me. We'd had communion, and I invited all believers to take it, and anyone who is a believer was invited and gave the gospel, and, you know, if you've believed this, do it. And he came up to me, and he was upset with me. He said, you didn't tell those people to examine their lives. You didn't tell them to see if there were sins in their lives and those kind of things.
I was talking to a friend recently about this, and he's coming from Europe and Spain, just very heavy Catholicism background. He noted as well that it just seems as though in the evangelical world, we have almost a Catholic posture when it comes to communion, in that it's a very somber thing. It's a very introspective thing. It's often kind of dark, honestly, very dark. It is supposed to be almost I hate to say beating yourself up, but a little bit of that, you know, going to the confessional kind of concept that you see within the Catholic Church as well. And he just commented that even in the evangelical churches, you see that posturing with communion that is reminiscent of the Catholic Church.
And what's weird about this way that evangelicals see this passage is, at least in my experience, is that even if you confess those sins, you think, well, I'm still better not. I've confessed these sins, but I did that, so I really ought not to take communion because that's just too big a sin. It's as if God has not forgiven that sin, even though you've confessed it, just to make sure, you know, something like that. And that story you told of that young lady saying, well, I'm just not in the right place right now. I don't feel close to the Lord. I'm not walking with him. I've not read the scriptures enough. I've not prayed enough. I've not gone to church enough. I mean,
it's very much beating yourself up.
Right. I'm going to argue that that's not what's going on here in 1 Corinthians 11. The context is, if you look in the previous verses, he starts in verse 17 about their conduct at the Lord's Supper. At Corinth, they were having a problem. And the problem was, he says in verse 19, that there are factions among you. What are these factions? Based upon what he says next, he says, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, this is verse 21, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. The early church took the Lord's supper with a complete meal. Paul is saying that when you come together, there's a bunch of y'all eating a lot, and then there's other people who don't get anything. And then some of you are even getting drunk. And many have pointed out that the factions that's going on here is the factions between the rich and the poor. I remember reading a book on 1 Corinthians some years ago, and the guy, I don't remember who it was, but he argued that a lot of the problems in Corinth were over this issue. Taking people to court. It was the rich who had the power to do that, for example. That certainly fits the context here. So the rich were getting together without the poor, and they were eating their food, and they were turning this into a party. And he goes, you're not coming together to eat the Lord's Supper. You're there just to eat and get full and to drink and turn this into a party.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Here's my suggestion, and it's a very strong suggestion. In fact, I know I'm right.
Ooh, bold words.
This is what he means by eating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner.
So it's not talking about unconfessed sins.
Right. It's not talking about...
Contextually, that doesn't fit.
And if you notice, that's never mentioned anywhere in this passage about confessing your sins before you take it. The context here is, I'm not coming together to eat the Lord's Supper to remember him, and that he's coming again, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So I'm not there celebrating his return. I'm not there remembering what he's done to bring all this about, that his death is going to bring in the kingdom of God. No, no, no. I'm there with my buddies to get drunk.
I think also what strikes me about the traditional view is that it's extremely self-centered. Whereas the context is talking about when the church comes together and is observing the Lord's Supper as the body. And so as we consider the corporate concepts here, that it is about the treatment of others and how are we going to serve each other within the body, which, by the way, is such an overwhelming thing in 1 Corinthians, even just the love passage, right? When we love, we don't do it for, or the spiritual gifts, right? For our own edification, but for the edification of the body of Christ. And yet, what have we done with the Lord's Supper has become a very self-centered activity. I need to sit here and look introspectively at my own life and examine myself in this way so that I'm good with the Lord. And we miss the context of the corporate church coming together and celebrating the Lord's Supper. If I should be confessing my sins daily, right? That's an activity that should be going on in the Christian life outside of the church meetings. But here in the context, we're talking about the meeting of the church. And so it's just, that's, I find striking.
And you're right. You know, the confession of sin, what's also happened in the evangelical church is, okay, I'm going to confess my sin when I take the Lord's Supper.
Right.
And now what if I'm in a church where, you know, I know people say it shouldn't be this way, but let's say you attend a church where you only take the Lord's Supper once a month. Now, you mentioned the body. Now, notice the emphasis here in verse 27, will be guilty of the body of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? You're eating in an unworthy manner and you're guilty of the body. And notice he emphasizes this because he says in verse 29, you're not discerning the body. Now, most were going to say, well, when you take the bread, that's the body of the Lord. And so if you have unconfessed sins, you're not realizing how serious it is that you're eating the body. And this goes back to the Catholic thing.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like some mystical kind of thing here. Okay, here's my suggestion. When these guys are getting together and they're excluding other people, the poor, probably what was happening was the poor had to work or they couldn't be there at certain times, and the rich were getting together earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're going to have the Lord's Supper at 5 o'clock, but me and my buddies who are wealthy and we got a lot of food.
And downtime.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Downtime. We're going to meet at 3 before these other people come. Yeah, we'll tell them to show up at 5, but we're going to come together in our clique. And remember earlier in Corinthians, he talks about all these factions as well. So here it is. To eat in an unworthy manner is when there are people within the church who exclude others from the fellowship of the body.
I think to just drive this home, verse 33 really is to me the clincher, because now he's concluding, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another.
Wait for one another.
Don't be eating all this stuff up before the rest show up. That's not eating in a worthy manner. You need to wait until everyone is there and then sit down together as the body of Christ.
That's right, the body. This is supposed to be a unity. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says the bread is the body of Christ. You're all one. Mm-hmm. If you're excluding people, you are sinning against the body.
Right.
And the blood, if I'm using the wine to get drunk instead of remembering what his death did and that it's going to bring in the kingdom, then I'm guilty of the blood of Christ if I'm doing it just to.
And it's not to say if you have unconfessed sins that you shouldn't confess. Like, of course, but just contextually speaking, Paul's not addressing that.
Yes.
He's talking about the conduct of the church when they're meeting for the Lord's Supper.
Exactly. That's our position, and we're sticking to
That's
it.
That's right.
And in the meantime, everybody,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, Matthew 24, what does the fig tree represent? And what is the lesson from the fig tree? We'd love for you to join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.